just you said, I am as constant as a northern star. And I said, constantly in the darkness, where's that at? If you want me, I'll be in the bar, on the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue TV screen light. I drew a map of Canada. I would still be on my feet. I am a lonely painter. I live in a box of paint. I'm drawn to those ones that ain't afraid. I remember that time you told me, you said, love is touching souls. Surely you touch my anchor, part of you pours out of me.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Vag Bond, and you're listening to WMFO in Medford. The current time is 8:07.
And 17 seconds.
Ooh, I like that you caught it at the 17.
Thank you.
That's my, favorite number.
I do like that number. Mm-hmm. I tend to gravitate towards it.
Yeah.
Feels
something about
weighty.
17.
I like it.
It's also, prime number, and I really like prime numbers.
That's right. You know all about numbers.
I love numbers.
Yeah.
I also really like 9, because it's, three. I like threes, and it's, 3 times 3. And then, always when you were a kid and studying nines, it was, you could do, tricks on your fingers, you know? Mm-hmm.
That was actually the first times table that I memorized.
Really? It was nines?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Interesting.
They're hard.
They are hard, but I think it's because they're hard I memorize them first.
They're, hard, but they also, it's, cool. It's, why is it like that?
I don't know. Interesting. Call in if
yeah.
you have a story about nines.
Numbers. Any numbers.
You make movies about that.
Is today the last day of March? Or is that?
No.
That's
but
only
29. Yeah.
I think February is the only one. No, not February.
February.
Sometimes.
Well, anyway, I'm back after a little hiatus just because sometimes it's hard to get up in the morning.
I'm glad.
But Molly's been here. So I'm glad to be back. Thank you for listening, if you're listening. All right. Miles, do you have any songs you want to start us off with this morning?
Yeah. I've been feeling some kind of DJ Pern and I were talking about feeling mellow. And this one's mellow, but it's on my Wake and Bake playlist, so it has, positive connotations.
Wonderful.
It's like a mood lifter, too.
Great.
So we're going to take it a few decades back.
Okay.
Hope you enjoy.
It's the time of the season when love runs high. In this time, give it to me easy and let me try with pleasured hands
to take you in the sun to
promised lands
to show you everyone. It's the time of the season for love.
Daddy,
is he rich like me? Has he taken us
any time to show
you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell you why
I really want to know. It's the time of the season for love.
Season for love.
got a black magic woman. Got a black magic woman. I've got a black magic woman. Got me so blind I can't see that she's a black magic woman. She's trying to make a devil out of me. Don't turn your back on me, baby.
You just listened to two songs that I queued up. The first one was The Zombies, The Time of the Season. And the second was Santana, Black Magic Woman. And thank you.
I do say so. I'm going to play a song next. This is Lucid Dream by Glue Trip. Fun name. Fun song name, fun band name.
Fun names.
So here you go.
Thank you. above the weather. Oh, and whether you're gonna get on in is up to him. If you ever hear that crying in the distance like some siren, maybe there's a singer with no ring around their little finger, no love. And if I lose my voice, if I have no choice but to go quiet, won't you sing for me a melody into the night air? And if I die too young,
stranger.
Beautiful Strangers by Kevin Morby. Great song, fun political message. Not fun, but important political messages.
I really enjoyed those two songs.
Yeah. So I was thinking while I was walking around the studio, we were talking about this yesterday, but what do you replace peanut butter with?
Wow. This is one of the most...
Like, what rhymes with orange?
Right, right. This is a really, like, soul-wrenching question. Because I worked at this camp, and due to nut allergies, we didn't want to have any, like, peanuts or tree nuts.
Of course.
So we used sun butter, which is, like, sunflower seed butter, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it was okay. Mm-hmm. I ate it, but nothing on earth can replace peanut butter.
Yeah, you know, I'd have to second that. I grew up eating a lot of sun butter because of the nut allergies. And I always wondered, what do you do on a plane? Because all they do is give out peanuts.
Peanuts.
And actually, for the first time in my life, on my return flight from Cuba this spring break, they announced on the intercom, they said, "Hi, everyone. We have two people with nut allergies. So we won't be giving out peanuts, but we'll give out pretzels and the other things." So I guess that's what they do. Mystery solved.
Mystery solved.
Yeah. They just said, please, please, please don't.
Yeah. Wow. That's a recipe for disaster. And I have a question for you on the peanut butter line. What is your favorite kind of peanut butter and your least favorite?
Okay. Oh, wow. Hard to answer. I would say I usually go for, like, a crunchy... I'm always between salted and unsalted. I think it's better to do unsalted just because it's more versatile, but more flavor and deliciousness when you get it salted. But I will announce this on air. This is for you, Ali Bunecki. I love, like, Skippy and Jif. It's just so delicious.
It's so good.
But I love it for what it is.
I was raised on that. So that to me with like some Smucker's jam on like like white bread is just so classic. A little apple juice on the side. Martinelli's apple juice. Wow.
Nice. Apple juice gives me headaches.
Really? Mm-hmm. I like it. Apples kind of suck though. But
whoa.
I know that's a big one, but I've kind of realized that like they're okay and I eat them, but like I don't really enjoy them. Like
I love you and I respect your opinions, but I happen to disagree with this particular opinion.
I understand, but I just feel like pineapple's exciting, mango's exciting.
You know what?
Apples? What?
Well, apples are not this, but pineapples and bananas, where are the seeds? They're not there. That's because they're all clones.
Weird.
And there's a fungus quickly approaching in Asia that's going to come over and wipe out all the banana plants in South America.
I was actually talking about that with someone's parents about how bananas back in the old days, a few decades ago, were like sweet and they had like a different flavor.
Colonialism.
And then bananas don't have that flavor anymore. Like that banana doesn't exist. We're eating, and like I know we do that with corn. Like that corn was originally like super tiny and now it's big. But then there's these like weird strains of corn that like are too much to be like processed by our bodies.
Yeah, totally. And these are like the kind of superfoods that indigenous populations have been eating for thousands and thousands of years, and then colonizers come in and industrialize those kinds of foods.
Yeah.
That's why corn is like, if you look at the kernel, you can find these diagrams.
the yellow part that is like sweet and full of sugar, that's what we like to eat, but it's been genetically modified so that that little white part on the bottom of the kernel that actually has more nutrients becomes smaller. So they change like the proportions of,
wow,
like the composition of the actual kernel so that it, you know.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's
very
crazy.
Interesting. Investigate corn and bananas. It's very interesting,
mm-hmm,
important history to know. Because
yeah,
banana really is the perfect food. It comes...
Bananas are awesome.
Full of carbs and protein. And it's important to know where we're getting our food and how it comes to be that way.
To segue back to peanut butter, bananas and peanut butter are insane.
What?
I think that's my favorite way to eat peanut butter is with some banana.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that was also Elvis's favorite sandwich, the peanut butter banana. Or maybe it was like peanut butter, honey, banana.
Character.
Mm-hmm.
But honey is so good in that too.
I don't know. I'm going to stick with peanut butter, banana. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
The alignment of like two beautiful foods. The marriage of
I agree.
The perfect condiment and the perfect food.
Yeah, it really is.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a song you want to play for us?
I do have a song. I'm dedicating this one to you, DJ Pern.
Oh.
I think I forgot your DJ name.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know if we have one either.
That's fine.
But this is El Trio de Omar Rodriguez Lopez, and he's from the Mars Volta, which is a really fun rock band, but this is not rock. And he teamed up with, I think her name's Jimena Zarniara, and I cannot find the name of the other person. But this is a really beautiful song. They have their whole album, Ciencia de los Inutiles, excuse my Spanish, is like every day of the week is a different song. And I know today's Wednesday, which is Miércoles. I like Martes better. So we're going to flash back to 24 hours ago and pretend it's Tuesday.
Mío y el tiempo es etéreo.
So that was El Trio de Omar Rodriguez López with Martes. And we did check her name, and it is Jimena Zañara with an X, first name X, which is really cool because I also have an X in my name in my second first name.
Yes, you do.
But I like the letter X.
It's a cool letter. It's symmetrical.
It's symmetrical. It's also a math letter. So,
math letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
X has, like, just been a symbol, I feel like, for lots of different things. Like, X marks the spot, like, treasure. You know, like, X is just also can mean, like, no, like, don't go here.
It's true. It's kind of, yeah. We were wondering about that because on the way back in the customs line, they either mark your little, I don't know, the paper you get when you enter with, like, an O, or they leave it blank, or with an X. And I feel like they just throw you the X just to completely freak you out.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you get an X?
No. Oh. I think maybe it's just to separate the lines. I don't know.
Yeah.
It seems unnecessary.
I'd rather get an O than an X, I feel like.
Definitely.
I don't know why.
Definitely.
O's are really nice, too. They're also a math symbol.
Mm-hmm.
And
also
they...
symmetrical.
It's all, also circles are my favorite shape. This is going to be a little bit of a tangent, but I think it's because they, like, have no ending and no beginning. So I feel like they're a very spiritual symbol because they're, like, unity and wholesomeness and, like, the circle of life. But in Ulysses, O means orgasm, and it's, like, a whole chapter about some good old early 1900s, risque literature.
I was just talking about orgasms because in another art context, actually, because what art isn't about the orgasm?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Rebecca Pomeau, Jouissance, and the orgasm as the moment of life and death and the ecstasy of being close to that feeling. But I was just talking about last night with Ben, this artist that we got to visit when I was abroad in Chile. His name is Mario Toral, and he does really interesting work. I don't know that much about painting and art, so I don't know how you would call it. It's not modern art, but we were able to visit his studio, and I'd never been to an artist studio like
that.
Wow. And like, you had like all of his different drafts, and he's a very famous artist. He did these murals in the Universidad de Chile metro stop in Santiago.
Oh, I've seen that.
Covering the walls. It's really, really interesting. And we got to go to his house, and then he's kind of
house?
This old, interesting man, and we're standing around listening to him talk, and he was really cool. And then he just kind of went off on a tangent about orgasms and was like looking around suggestively at all of us, and we're like, yeah, all right,
okay.
But really interesting guy, beautiful art. Look up Mario Toral if you don't know who he is. Probably don't. But thank you for playing that song, Molly. That was really beautiful. And kind of inspired me to look back at some music that I was listening to when I was living in Chile and totally immersed in Spanish and really trying to, you know, feed that into all areas of my life and the music I was listening to. So I'd like to play a song that was really near and dear to my heart at that time. I remember looking out bus windows and traveling, listening to this song. And yeah, so this is Reina Japonesa by Fernando Milagros.
cantan la flor con genocidio y napalm. La luna es una explosión que funde todo el clamor, el derecho de vivir en paz.
He's a poet, he was a songwriter, and he was killed during the dictatorship in Chile. So a very important figure for a lot of people in Chile, along with Violeta Parra, a female poet, songwriter, activist. So I'm feeling a little political this morning. I just wanted to bring it back to some music I was listening to and some things I've been thinking about. Similarly, I have a PSA for you all. This is about cell phone rights. Whether you're taking your cell phone with you on a walk, in your car, or to a civil protest, you should know your legal rights. The U.S. Supreme Court unanimously ruled that police must obtain a warrant to search a person's cell phone. However, a phone without a passcode can readily be searched by anybody holding it, and a Virginia court recently ruled that a defendant can be compelled to unlock a device that's protected only by a fingerprint sensor. So consider using a key code password and setting your phone screen to lock very quickly when no one is using it, particularly if you expect to be in a potentially volatile situation. While the police can't legally force you to unlock your phone, they can ask you to, and if you do that, you've forfeited your rights. The correct answer to a cop's request to search you, your vehicle, or your phone is, quote, "No, officer, I do not consent to a search. Thank you," unquote. Finally, remember that the police can always ask a judge for a search warrant, so think carefully about what's stored on your phone, including photos, contacts, and app data. You can learn more about your rights from the Electronic Freedom Foundation on the web at EFF.org. This has been a public service message from the EFF and your Freedom Loving friends here at WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
That was a great PSA. Thank you.
People should know. I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
I definitely didn't know about the fingerprint thing.
Not to think about it. Yeah, the fingerprint thing. When that first came out, my dad said, don't set your fingerprint. They'll have your information.
Oh, no.
But, Dad, they already know everything.
Yeah.
So it was convenient. But I don't use it anymore.
I'm not going to lie. I did the fingerprint thing because I had a password, and it was a great password, as are all my passwords, I think. Mm-hmm. But I realized very quickly that when I'm drunk, I can't type in a password.
No.
So it's gotta be the fingerprint way.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of fun and like, ooh, let me try this new thing. But, mm-hmm. you know, in the end, I like having my passcode.
Yeah.
I feel safer that way.
All right. Yeah. So I'm gonna play an old Hebrew song. This one's for Guy. And he sent it to me the other day. It's by Arik Einstein, he was a very famous singer, I think in the 60s and 70s, super cute, and one of Guy's favorites. He has a beautiful voice, and this one's called Maiti. Guy, ze bishvilcha, ani ohevet otcha.
Oh,
beautiful song.
Again, whoa, excuse my voice. Again, that was Maiti by Arik Einstein. Maiti means what's with me. It's a love song. Thank you for listening to Vagabond. Again, this is WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM. And right now, Perna is adding something hilarious to our Facebook page. And if you want to check that out, that's Vagabond, but V-A-J-A-B-O-N-D.
Like mm-hmm. us on Facebook.
Like us on Facebook.
Or better yet, listen to our show.
Listen to our show.